Joining us on the morning after the Red Sox complete the sweep of the Rockies, it is Red Sox Chief Baseball Officer Craig Breslow, brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market, perfecting the art of fresh, and by findmassmoney.gov. Hey, Craig.
Hey, good morning. How are you doing?
Doing great. Yoshida back in the lineup last night at DH, went 3-for-4. What does having him back do for this team?
Yeah, I think it gives us another quality left-handed bat and a little bit different profile. He prioritizes putting the ball in play. He has a quality at bat, really controls the strike zone, and I think it lengthens the lineup. So obviously all good things. Great to have him back.
Night off for Rafaela last night. I know there were some that were saying why that choice. Alex Cora spoke a little bit about it yesterday afternoon. But there's an abundance of guys, I guess, and the night off is not a bad thing, right?
Yeah, that's the way that we see it. And there will be some balancing act to making sure that everybody gets enough playing time, but also we're able to keep everybody fresh. And nobody's ever complained about having too many good players. And the more good players that you have, that means that there are guys on any given night who are on the bench that are probably capable of being everyday guys, and we need to figure out how to balance that out. But I think you've seen the comments from Alex and the guys that recognize that we're trying to accomplish something together, and that means that on any given night somebody might be out of the lineup.
Craig, I know we're still a few weeks away from the trade deadline, but let's say hypothetically it was tomorrow. You guys have to be looking. What's the one area that you would like to improve this baseball team?
Yeah, it's a very fair question. I'm not trying to avoid answering it, but I think it kind of depends on where we are, and so we have to zoom out a little bit and try to figure out who are we and what do we have coming back and what do we think is sustainable. Meaning, a month ago, a month and a half ago, we would have talked a ton about starting pitching and getting more consistency and finding someone who slots in toward the top of the rotation behind Garrett. And then you look at what Lucas and Brian have done over the last month and a half and start to feel confident in the way that the starting pitching is coming together. That said, you can never have too much. So I think that's probably what we would prioritize. We've seen what Fitz has done. Dobbins is getting healthy. Hauk is getting healthy. So we have some depth. But I think if there's the opportunity to provide some impact starting pitching and add that to the group, that's probably where we focus.
Craig, going back to that abundance of outfielders that we were just talking about, and having kind of an overload of talent in that part of your roster, to what extent do you feel that factors into maybe being in a position where the smartest move becomes trading one of those players?
Yeah, it's something that you would have to consider if there was an opportunity to, to improve the team elsewhere. But I think it's really important to point out that we don't have to trade one of the outfielders simply because we have, more guys that are capable of contributing than can start every night. And I think there's a way to balance this out. Alex is very aggressive in matching up, finding pinch hit opportunities, moving guys around, and making sure that the pieces come together. But we have to be open-minded about ways to improve the team. The obvious one that continues to pop up is there an opportunity to address the rotation potentially through some of that outfield depth? And we just don't know yet.
Alex Cora said on this radio station yesterday that Alex Bregman will play this series.
Yeah, that's it's looking that way, and I'll stop short of saying definitively yes, because every day that Alex comes in, he does a little bit more, he pushes it a little bit harder, and we need to see how he comes out of that and how he recovers the next day. But he's been working really hard to get back on the field before the All-Star break, and certainly looks like he's trending that way.
Before you answer fair question, I'm going to ask you this in a different way. If you could use one word and only one word to describe any extension talk when it comes to Scott Boras on Alex Bregman, what would that word be?
I've got to think about that. I might consider preferring to find my third favorite band.
I mean, would it be ongoing? Would it be middle of the intermediary? Continuing? Unstarted?
I think ongoing is always a fair summary. Just given, you know, this is something that's on our mind. It's clearly something on Alex's mind, but the priority for the last, you know, almost 2 months has been doing everything we can to get Alex back on the field. But I think I've been pretty outspoken about what he's provided on the field and in the clubhouse to a bunch of the young guys, to the coaching staff, to me. And so, you know, he's a guy that we would like to have here in a Red Sox uniform for a long time.
I mean, watching games, you see he's always talking it up with Roman Anthony and Marcelo Meyer. How important has he been when it comes to helping those guys getting acclimated to the big league so far?
Yeah, I'm not sure how you could put a measure on that outside of, you're right, the communication, the conversations are happening all the time. They're happening in the clubhouse, in the video room, in the dugout. And Alex has talked a lot about the aptitude and the ability to make adjustments pitch to pitch or at bat to at bat that these guys have, you know, which I think is a testament to their athleticism and just the raw talent that they have. He talks a lot. He jokes a lot about how much quicker they're able to make adjustments just given the natural talent that they have, and having somebody like Alex around them to guide them and help direct their work has been unbelievably valuable, just given how successful Alex has been in his career and the amount that he's been around winning.
With Bregman coming back, Alex Cora said there are decisions to be made around Marcelo Meyer. Is there a chance that you have to send him back down? And if so, was it a mistake to bring him up?
Well, I don't think it was a mistake to bring him up, kind of working backwards here. You know, Alex got hurt and Marcelo was the right guy to fill in. And I think we've seen an incredible ability for him to step into third base and play really good defense there, despite the fact that he hadn't played a ton coming up. He was obviously, you know, he's a shortstop and at some point is going to play shortstop again. But we have to make the best decision for the organization and the best decision for Marcelo. And you know, usually those things overlap, but we'll figure that out when Alex is back and, you know, we'll make the best decision we can.
During this time of the year, you know how it is. We all get to speculating about who could be dealt or who you potentially could be trading for. One name that's been rumored out there because he's having an amazing season and he's probably a huge asset for you is Aroldis Chapman. But how important is it to make sure if you're going for it this year that you have a guy like that at the back of your rotation as a closer who can go out there and win those critical postseason games for you?
Yeah, a guy like Aroldis in the postseason, just given the way the schedules are set up where you can really lean on your best relievers, and he has a ton of impact, right? You know, and we've seen it in postseasons that he's pitched in, you know, and so, you know, you really lean on your top starters and, you know, kind of the horses in the bullpen. So, you know, you want to build a bullpen for the postseason, given the amount of innings that they're going to throw. Now, when people talk about Chapman and the deadline, right, the obvious kind of thing that comes to mind is, you know, when he was traded for Cole Reagans and Reagans become a top of the rotation starter. You know, but Aroldis Chapman is pitching for the Boston Red Sox right now, and you know it's unbelievably exciting to watch him come into the game. The fact that he's still throwing 100 miles an hour, is named to the All-Star team for I think it was the eighth time, you know, is great for us, and we're glad that that's the way it is right now.
Craig, I believe Fangraphs has you at a 36.5% chance of making the postseason as we sit here today. I'm sure you guys have your own much more scientific calculations around all this, but how much do those quantitative figures factor into what you want to do at the trade deadline?
Sure. So, you know, I think something that I've learned in the short time that I've been in this role is those numbers can serve as a good baseline, but they don't tell the whole story. And what, you know, our jobs in the front office are to do is to understand kind of what type of trajectory we're on and where we think we're going. And to do that, you need to consider, you know, how are we playing? Do we think that we can keep this up? I think the answer to both of those is, you know, we're playing really well, and we do think that this is something that we can keep up. And then, you know, we've got guys like Bregman coming back and Yoshida, obviously, last night, and we've got some starting pitching that's getting healthy. So I don't think the playoff probability tells the whole story, you know, because I think we're a better team than what we've shown in the first half. And I think that we're starting to come together in the way that we had anticipated.
Did it surprise you as much as it did me that Rafael Devers blew Will Clark off three times?
I had a feeling I was going to get asked about this. And it turns out that my focus is solely on the Boston Red Sox.
I don't have
much to add.
I mean, could it be just the phone issue when it comes to major leaguers, veteran major leaguers who are texting? Do you know anything about that?
You know, we've got 26 guys on our major league roster. We've got an organization here to remain focused on, and we'll do everything we can to get the most out of our guys.
All right.
Well, maybe that's what it is. We got to get Devers a better phone plan.
Maybe it might be that's what it is. Yeah. All right. Well, listen, big series here. About to get underway this evening, and I think you're off next week with the rest of baseball, and so we will talk to you again soon, Craig Breslow.
Sounds great. I will miss all of you dearly. Thank you very much.
All right, there he is, the chief baseball officer of the Boston Red Sox.
Is it still a little too early for him? Oh, I don't say him, but maybe the organization, I guess maybe it is, for them to be like, we told you so. Victory lap.
I don't think it is a victory. I think you can. I mean, Courtney brought this up the other day. If you look at the turnaround or whatever, there are some who go, it's because they're playing junk teams. But there are others who say it's a different team minus Rafael Devers. Do you give any credit to Craig Breslow?
I feel like it is. Just from watching them, and maybe this is just me and I could just be seeing it from a different perspective, I just feel like those guys, when they're the guys that are in the dugout, on the field, it just looks like there's a different energy in the way that they're celebrating each other. It could just be me, but I don't know. It feels like it's different.
Yeah, I just don't think that some of the biggest changes or improvements have to do with Devers being here or not. Mm-hmm. Like, Giolito's not pitching better because Devers is gone. Yeah. That I know of.
No, but
unless something crazy was happening there.
You're right about that.
But do you think we use the word vibe, but do you think it looks different?
It looks different because they're playing really bad teams right now, and so they're crushing them.
But
and
even
so
when they were on that winning streak, did it look the same?
You mean the losing streak?
No, when they were on that winning streak, when they swept the Yankees. I don't know. It just maybe it's just me, but you don't feel like there's like a little difference of like, at least we don't have to answer these questions. At least we don't.
Oh, I'm sure it's less tight in the clubhouse. I'm sure that it's less anxious because you don't have the reporters going in every day saying, hey, I heard about this conversation. What's going on with this meeting with the owner? And you're having to respond for your teammate. There's something to that, but like the team's performance on the field, I still think it's early when pitching is one of the biggest differences from where you were at with Devers to where you are now.
Right.
It's Giolito and it's Bayo looking like real starters. Like, that doesn't have anything to do with Devers.
Yeah, but you have one less dink in the clubhouse, which is great. Like, I don't know. I just watched this Red Sox team. The vibes are great. And you know, if Rafael Devers was here, they would not be the same. They aren't. Like, he has shown his true colors time and time again. And as much as we thought, maybe because of the Red Sox miscommunication, and they did miscommunicate in spring training, that he was being petty, like, yeah, he might have been, but he was also just a dink in general. Like, that's just kind of who he is.
And that's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about the pitchers. I'm not talking about
a D.I.G., if you will.
Yeah.
Dink in general.
Yeah. Yes, yeah. Exactly. A dink.
They're out there.
But, Sham, you're right, though. It's just, and part of that tightness and that pressure, you can see it just in the way that their personalities are. And I'm not equating that to Giolito's pitching better. I'm just saying they just look a lot looser than
way looser
they were when Devers was here.
I think Cora looks looser. Like, for sure.
He's that's one less headache. Why wouldn't you, you know?
He's definitely part of that. And if your manager's looser and you're looser, and you don't have to be like, oh, my God, we got to walk around on eggshells.
Right.
You know, they're going to ask me, you know, Christian Campbell. They're going to ask me about Devers.
It's not yogging out there to take ground balls at shortstop because maybe he wants to play shortstop.
Or yogging it down to first base after putting the ball in play.
Correct.
With the whole thing that transpired, though, about not taking reps with Will Clark at first base in San Francisco because it was right in front of the Red Sox dugout and that would be a bad look, like, why not send a text? If it happened three times, like Will Clark said, even after the first time, so sorry I couldn't make it. It's kind of awkward. Let's do this next series.
Well, it's because Will Clark was just cutting him an excuse. He was allowing an excuse for Devers.
I don't even think he was excuse-making. He was explaining from his perspective why it happened.
Right.
Rafael Devers couldn't go out there and do that because of the way he acted here.
And
like, it's not excusable, but you you understand why when it comes to dink level.
No.
He can't go running out there and do it with Will Clark because he wasn't willing to do it here. So all those guys in the dugout are going to be like, hypocrite.
But you know what he could have done? In the clubhouse, when Will Clark is hanging around because he's going to be out there, he could have tapped him on the backside and been like, hey, bud, I'm not going to go out there today. Just
on
a heads
the
up.
Backside.
You don't even have to, you know, give him the classic Brett Favre butt slap.
A little love tap?
Yeah, always.
Is that how you two end the show on Saturdays?
No. Absolutely not.
I think that would be a trip to HR, Greg.
I never got that, though.
Like, not if would you complain about it if Mego did it?
I mean,
he should.
Yeah, I wouldn't love it. I am engaged to be married, to be completely honest.
Who was like the...
And she's a married woman, so that seems...
But who was... You also don't like a love tap. You prefer a love smack right across the face.
Yeah, a little bit more aggression is more my speed.
But who was the originator of that? Like
of what?
Of like the butt slap, I never got it. Like you could slap me on
did
the
you, did you
the
do that
high
on the
five.
Field?
I think it
were
was,
you ever?
It, I
a
think
rope
it was Diddy. Was it not Diddy who started it?
No, but I think we did it. But was like did
so you did
the
it? You fell into
run
it.
By like I don't know
culture.
Mickey Mantle one day, and Mickey Mantle said, "I'm gonna slap you on the ass," and that now that
go
turned,
get him, cowboy.
That turned into like where did that?
Yeah,
come
maybe
from?
That's where it came from because you smack your horse on the butt to get him going.
Yeah.
So they treat. So you look at me as a horse, like.
Just a
get
dude
going.
Thing.
I don't know really.
You're wild Mustang. Let's go.
I don't
go.
Know like where that came from in sports. I feel like.
Is it still done? It's really not as popular as
definitely.
It once.
Oh,
yeah. Once,
yes.
On the football field? Absolutely.
I think it's waning
one
in popularity.
Hundo.
I just don't think they show it on TV all the time, but I think it happens constantly.
It was like maybe the first like athletes when they're playing in Springfield, playing basketball, you know, coming up to each other.
Yes.
Hey, Bob, great job.
Yes.
It
was James Naismith who did it first before throwing the ball into the peach basket.
Right.
Yes. You haven't seen the statue in Springfield?
Right. He's like, hey there, fella, how about a nice slap on the ass?
It's like, what was that for? Because you did a good job. Oh, so that's what we do now.
Yeah, that's how it started.
Like, okay.
Right there in beautiful Springfield. It's memorialized in the Basketball Hall of Fame out there in the butt slap section. All right.
You rub the butt for good luck.
Yes. All right, Hill Notes coming up. Right now, Mego for Courtney with What is Trending.
Now, here's What's Trending on WEEI.
Trending brought to you by Subaru of New England. It's going to be a Subaru summer. SubaruofNewEngland.com. The Red Sox swept the Rockies with a 10-2 win last night, led in part by the return of Masataka Yoshida. He went 3-for-4 with a double in RBI in his season debut. Carlos Narvaez, Willie Abreu, Romy Gonzalez, and Jaron Duran all homered for the Sox.
It's going to be disappointing for me if they have to send Marcelo Meyer down. I mean, I get it that you just got too many guys. But
right, but where are you going to play him? Could you put him at second base at times? Because he's playing second base. Isn't it kind of they're still platooning that?
Yeah, they got the platoon going on there, which is actually working out pretty well.
Right, so, there's like, where would you put him with Bregman back?
Yeah. I mean, also, did you get any nugget-wise? Maybe you end up trading Trevor Story because of how well he is playing right now?
maximize his value so that Marcelo Meyer can start every day at shortstop?
Right, but do you take out?
That's what Greg was talking about there.
Greg, but then do you take out one of your best bats right now to put in a player that isn't having the same type of performance?
Oh, I know.
I don't know if you, and that's why I asked him about Chapman. Like, if you're really trying to make a run for it, you don't want to trade a guy like that who's going to be so valuable for you in the postseason.
Yeah. Sox extended their win to 6 games, matching their season best. Here's manager Alex Cora.
There's a lot of energy right now. Well, obviously, that comes with winning and swinging the bat well, but we just got to be ready for tomorrow. We got a big series against the Rays, and just go out there and play hard.
Lionel Messi had 2 goals in the Inter-Miami New England Revolution match at Gillette Stadium last night. That was enough for a 2-1 win over the Revs, and Messi becomes the first player in MLS history to score multiple goals in 4 straight league matches. Devin Booker has agreed to a 2-year, $145 million max contract extension with the Phoenix Suns, the highest annual extension salary in NBA history. Per ESPN's Shams Charania, that runs through the 2029-2030 season. The Red Sox welcome the Tampa Bay Rays to Fenway tonight for the first of 4 games. Walker Buehler gets the start for the Sox. You can catch all of that here. Will Fleming and Will Middlebrooks have the call at 7:10 on the Shaw's Star Market Red Sox Radio Network. Christian Arcan gets you ready with pregame at 6:10. Subaru summer is finally here. Buckle up for an unforgettable summer in a brand new 2025 Subaru Crosstrek. Buy with not 2.9% financing for up to 48 months or lease for just $285 per month. Details at SubaruofNewEngland.com.
Hill Notes are next.